And on a Thursday, normally, we've got a feature that's a testimony feature. It's called This Is My Story. And that's what we're getting into right now on the show. Now, with me in studio is Karine, and she is a mother. She's a wife. She is mother to a little girl called Sophia, who is just a miracle, right? Who was born with a severe brain damage because of medical negligence. Her story, you know, like I said earlier on, is such an encouragement, and I think will be an encouragement to parents raising children with medical needs, parents who have probably lost children due to medical negligence, or who can relate to what she's going through. And like I said earlier, sometimes it's not even the case of you've got a child with medical needs, but maybe life happened, it threw something at you that you did not expect, and now you're having to navigate and live with this reality that you never ever prepared for, that you never saw coming. How do you live with that? Because she's such a positive person. I've met her, encountered her in public environments and in spaces, you know, social spaces, and her positivity, her energy is just absolutely amazing. Karine, thank you for coming through.
Thank you. Don't let me cry in the beginning of the session, please.
How am I making you cry? Because you're a lovely person.
Thank you.
You really, really are.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad you're here. I think you and I, this conversation is long overdue. It should have happened even about a year ago already. But this is the right time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And before we get into our conversation, I think, you know, I'll just give you a chance to introduce yourself. Who are you? Where you're from? What you're about?
Okay, so I'm Karine Muller. I'm married to a wonderful husband, which is very, very, very supportive and always been there through everything that we went through. I've been married for 13 years.
You look 13, my sister, and you already been married for 13 years.
Yeah, but we've been together for 18 years, so it's been a lifetime.
Yeah.
And I've got a beautiful 10-year-old son, Yaku, and then Sophia, who's 5 years old, and there's a new addition to the family called Isaac. He's 3 months old, and yes, he is an absolute blessing, and he is just smiling and smiling and smiling and smiling from the morning to night.
I can attest to that. He's been smiling at everybody in the... See now, everybody's holding him. He's there with Lebu now, and everybody's just like, because he's that cute. He's absolutely adorable. You know, I feel like normally, when we talk about gifts and the graces that God gives people, we often think, you know, just preachers and people on platforms.
Yeah.
But I feel like you've got such a beautiful grace for motherhood.
Oh,
I don't know if that's even a thing out there, but
thank you.
Really think God has graced you for that. So you do it and you carry it so beautifully.
Oh,
you make me want to have a baby now. I feel like if people encounter you, they'd feel like motherhood actually is a beautiful thing. It's not a difficult thing. It has its challenges, but
yes,
you make it look beautiful, and that's such a blessing.
Oh, and you know, from since I can remember, from being a little girl, all I wanted to be was a mother.
I absolutely love it. We're going to talk about Sophia's story now, because that's the reason we're here, and you're here to share your testimony and your story. Let's talk about just the pregnancy leading up to your daughter's birth. How was that?
Well, I think since I saw that first positive line, I just looked up and said, thank you, God, for this girl. I knew from the very start that it was a girl. We didn't found out the gender until I was 30 weeks. My husband revealed it to me at my 30th birthday. And I had a wonderful pregnancy, such a healthy pregnancy. I've never felt and looked so good in my life. Yes, and everyone was just happy. Sophia was growing amazing. And, it was really an amazing time.
And then take us then to, obviously, great pregnancy. You're expecting this daughter. You're excited. You're happy. The delivery of the baby, and just a little bit about, you know, because we say her brain damage is due to medical negligence. Maybe a little bit about that, and even, you know, the practitioner who referred you to her. What happened there?
So, I'll take you just a little bit back. At 37 weeks pregnant with Sophia, I stood in church, and I remember it so clearly, where I just lifted my hand and said, God, thank you for this child, but I feel purposeless. I feel like I yearn to do what you want me to do on earth. And just there and then, I gave me and Sophia for him to be used as vessels in life, and not knowing what I'm asking, but I did. And I think from also from a young age, I always felt like, I really want to know what's God's purpose in my life. So, yes, pregnancy, everything went well. And then at 38 weeks, I went into labor by myself, which happened for the first time. And I was ecstatic because my body was doing everything that it was supposed to. Early that morning, I was already 5 centimeters dilated. I got to the midwife's practice and everything looked good. So, we had a walk. Just before I go on, I found this midwife on Facebook and I followed her for 3 to 4 years before deciding to go to her. Her record was absolutely amazing on Facebook. She posted the one successful water birth after the other. So that made me really want to go to her because she looked like she was doing something right and something different than the other midwives. So, that morning, it was quite quickly. I was already 7 centimeters dilated by 11 o'clock. I got into the bath and I had a bottle of water, which I finished completely. And when I got it, I think from there on, everything escalated. I couldn't cope with the contractions anymore. Suddenly, something was different in my body, and I could feel like there's something happening here that's not natural. I had so much pain, and I was like roaring like a lion through them. And
obviously, all along, she's monitoring everything. Is she checking everything? Is she monitoring you throughout the labor process?
By then, she only did one CTG when we got there at 5 centimeters, and my photographer took a photo of that. Only afterwards, we saw that her heart rate already took a dip with one of the contractions. We only saw that months after Sophia was born, but we were never told in that instance.
So she never picked up anything?
No. No, according to her, everything was perfect, and she didn't talk to us. She didn't let us know of anything by then. So 7 centimeters, I climbed into the bath and couldn't cope with everything. And by 22, it was 22-1, Sophia was born.
Mm.
And as the midwife gave her to me, she didn't cry. And she said, you know what, just rub her back and talk to her. Sometimes they take a while to take their first breath. And I knew that from watching a lot of birth videos.
Mm.
Everyone was calm in the room. The midwife was super calm. There was no panic or nothing. And as I was doing that and rubbing her and talking to her, she didn't respond at all.
Mm.
And the midwife at that stage was checking her heartbeat, and she said she couldn't find one.
Sure.
She had to work on her immediately. So all I saw was they took Sophia to the bed and laid her on the bed and started doing CPR on Sophia. But her 19-year-old daughter was doing the CPR while she was holding the AMU bag to give her oxygen.
Mm.
And at that stage, I got a glimpse of my husband on his knees next to the bed.
Mm.
And I saw the worry in his eyes. I never knew at that stage what was going on. And I definitely didn't realize the extent of everything. But I just decided to let the Holy Spirit take over, because at that moment you cannot do anything else. Mm. So I closed my eyes and I prayed in tongues and I asked God to save her. I think I didn't even think about something specific. I just knew I had to pray.
And that's what you did.
Yes.
And then we'll continue, because that is just the beginning of, I suppose, something that was going to change your life as a mother for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
It's local music coming through from CRC. It's called Unrelenting Love, this one, talking about the victory being ours because our Lord has overcome. Powerful and uplifting music here on the show as we continue our conversation with my guest in studio. Her name is Karine. She's mother to a miracle beautiful baby girl. Her name is Sophia. And Sophia was born with severe brain damage due to medical negligence. And so, Karin, before we took the break, so you were telling me now, you know, throughout your pregnancy, everything seemed fine, right? Even during labor. But you mentioned you drank a bottle of water. Was that your water that you had with you?
No, that wasn't. My water was finished. And at that stage, the midwife's daughter, who was a doula, gave that water to me.
After you drank that water, your contractions, then just everything just went haywire. And then you give birth to Sophia. She's not breathing. Yes. They do CPR on her. What happens next?
So after 30 minutes, she took her first breath. Oh. And her heart started beating.
Oh.
Yeah. So then by then, everyone was frantic and asking why is the ambulance not there yet and why has the ambulance not been called. So there was a lot of excuses and a lot of things going on at that stage. And yeah, I think only an hour and a half later, the ambulance arrived and took us to the hospital, the first hospital. And we spent 4 days there. And I remember the last day, the doctor, he set up a meeting with us in his room. And my husband was in Coltonville working away from home then. And he called me and my mom in and he said, told us to sit. Now, if a doctor tells you to sit,
then you know.
Yeah. So we were sitting and we were waiting. And then he took his glasses off and he was like rubbing his forehead and looking down. And I'm like, goodness, can you just spit it out? Can you just say, can we just get it? No, I'm still waiting for the file, he said. I will never forget that day. And the file came in and he opened it and he read it to us and he said, you know what? I actually don't know what's going on with Sophia. Her heart is failing and we don't know what's going on, but it doesn't look good. Mm. We didn't get clear communication from that doctor, but I will never say that it was his fault because he didn't have all the information. So what happened was the midwife told him that Sophia had swallowed amniotic fluid and that she has pneumonia. So they admitted us thinking Sophia had pneumonia. So they didn't treat her as a baby who suffered asphyxia.
So from the handover, obviously, yes, things were already just confused.
So they couldn't do, they couldn't give her proper care because they didn't have the right information. Mm. We didn't know that. We only found that out months later. And then we moved, family jumped on calls. And, you know, I have an amazing father-in-law who's always ready to move when when something happens. And he called around and called his sister. And we got into a neurologist who helped us at Centurion. And we quickly transferred Sophia there. And there, the neurologist, after 2 weeks, confirmed that, yeah, I'll also never forget that day. He said, to explain it to you in layman's terms, is that your daughter's brain is like a house that was flooded with water and you have to throw all the furniture away. Like, who tells that to a parent who's sitting with a newborn in their arms like that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's better ways. Like, I tell you the things that I've encountered on this journey and the manner in which people think it's okay to speak to other people.
You know, another mother actually, when you talk about that, was saying how the doctors would literally physically say, well, you do know your child is going to die, right? Things like that. Yeah. When they're saying there's no hope, you do know that your child. Yeah. And she's just like, but who says that to it? Yeah, the insensitivity of it. Insensitivity is just, yeah. So in a nutshell, what they explain is now she's brain damaged, basically.
She has,
what does that mean?
She has severe, severe brain injury. Mm. And she cannot understand what she sees and what she hears and what she eats and what she tastes, basically. Along with that, she has quadriplegia. She does not have control over her movements. And she cannot sit or crawl or walk. So if you put her on her tummy, her legs want to leopard crawl, but her arms is restricting her because they are very stiff because of the spasticity. So, it's basically, to put it nicely, is I've got a five-year-old newborn.
Yes.
I do love Sophia to bits.
It's so evident. You take her everywhere you go.
Thank you, please.
All the times I've met you, Sophia's right there. Every time I greet you, she's like, hi, say hi to my daughter Sophia. The love is so evident. You guys are like twins. You go everywhere together. You've got your little bestie there. She's your best friend.
And it's- and we love to dress up the same as well most of the times. And it's more challenging now as she gets bigger to take her everywhere. But we do. I still think that it's necessary. And I think, even it doesn't matter what a doctor tells you. Mm. It doesn't matter what a doctor tells you that about your child. I mean, you are the mother, you know best.
And I mean, obviously, hearing the news that, she has suffered what she has and what that means for her growth and her life going forward is obviously something that you didn't see coming at all. I mean, especially because there were no warnings during the pregnancy to say something could be wrong and obviously, So what were your first thoughts and emotions, and what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's your conversation with God as you receive those news?
I remember I called my wise counsel at church. And she drove through to Centurion, and we had a chat because I heard the news from the doctor alone. My husband wasn't even there. And then at that stage, I didn't know that he would know what we can expect. I didn't know if he had an idea what was happening or what can happen with Sophia or what would be the diagnosis. I didn't know. So we were contemplating of going through to Cartonville and actually, telling Yaku this, because I didn't want to explain this over the phone to him. So she came to me and we just prayed. We prayed and everything, and I had a conversation with my husband, and he said, you know what? You're not going to surprise me with anything you tell me. You can tell me it right now. So I had the conversation over the phone, and it was exactly what he expected. He has a medical degree, so... yeah, he knew a little bit more than I did.
Mm.
And it was tough. It was really tough. Obviously, your first thought is why.
Yeah.
And I think I'm so fortunate to know why.
Hmm.
After a few months of, it was actually 3 months, then I went to see the midwife. And she lied in my face.
Yeah.
About the notes. She contradicted herself in her own notes.
And I think before you continue with that, let's even highlight the fact that this is a midwife where there are stories and reports of many more mothers who lost their children.
There was only two cases at that stage that has been reported, that a newspaper article came out. Furthermore, there was nothing else. So it was literally just shoved under the rug. And nobody talked about it. Nobody made news about it. So at that stage, nobody actually knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So I actually found out through being connected in the natural birth world with my husband's cousins and doulas and so forth, that there was reports that this woman used induction medication to speed up labor without the mothers knowing it, so without their consent or knowledge. So I confirmed it by having coffees with each of them. I never did nothing over the phone, no track record, leaving nothing. I was in my own little spy movie.
Yes.
I was very careful. And I'm very glad today that I was very careful.
Yeah.
So, we did a lot of digging around, and we found out that she gave induction medication to each and every woman who walked into her practice, if they needed
it or not. Sure. And I want us to continue, because there's so much to the story, but I really want to also get to, bringing the hope aspect of it.
Absolutely.
To say, obviously, you went from that devastation to being traveling 5 years in the journey with Sophia, and obviously a lifetime to go still with her.
Yeah.
How you managed to get to where you are right now, in that place of you know, finding out why it had to happen to you and your family and your child, and how you're living with it right now. Music from Tondi Rems, this one is called Another Day, and it takes us to 37 minutes after 2 on the daytime break with me, Zinhle Xulu, and my guest in studio, Karine. We're talking about, you know, just her story of hope, of healing after having gone through a medical negligence, you know, ordeal with her daughter, who then, you know, where it resulted in her brain damage that obviously affected her well-being for the rest of her life, right? And what I wanted to ask you still, in just bringing hope and encouragement, because there could be somebody listening thinking, you know, maybe for them it's not even about they were told that this is the situation with the child. You know, obviously where you go from that place of excitement, anticipation, for you it was the pregnancy, right? And expecting this great thing that God is doing, and you're happy, and there's a sudden turn of events. For somebody it could be, you know, losing a spouse, it could be you've just gotten a job, or your career is rising and you get retrenched. It could be anything that literally just changes. And I feel like normally our response as people is, I'm not prepared. I'm not equipped for it. I'm not, how am I? I've never done this before. I've never dealt with a child with medical needs. Like, I'm young. What's going on? You know, it's just my second experience as a mother. I can't, you know, how did you get from that point of, but God, why me? I can't do this. How am I going to do this to where you are right now? Because you are carrying it so well, with so much grace and faith. And I want you, as you answer that, to also touch on the why aspect that you then later discovered why it had to be you.
So first of all, everything that I'm about to tell you wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for my husband, that I had full support. I mean, he's the breadwinner and he really like kept things going. But I got to that place where I realized that I also felt I was just a photographer. I'm just a graphic designer who's got a diploma. Who am I? Like, seriously, I don't know the law. I don't know what you do when you have situations like medical negligence. Nobody speaks out about these things. Medical negligence has always been shoved under a rug. Nobody speaks about it. You basically sign a contract most of the times and you get money and they say, okay, thank you. You won't say anything ever again.
Yeah.
That is how it works in hospitals. But unfortunately, this case wasn't at a hospital. So we were dealing with lots of other things. So I had to learn. And I think if you had gone through this, and when you reach that point, but how am I supposed to do this? Why has it happened to me? You need to be still and know that He is God. Because God will show you in the midst of that storm where to go and what to do next. And that is what I did. I said, God, I am obedient. I'm here. I'm listening. What can I do? Sure. And God opened up doors that I would have never, ever, ever been able to open by myself. And I think the first big door that He opened was the criminal lawyer that actually, Gerinal, that said that he would back us and he would do this pro bono for us and help us, help the state with our criminal case. But before that, I had to be willing. I had to be putting my foot to the ground and do the footwork, because there's always a man part and a God part.
Yeah.
And you have to do your part, even if when it's tough. You have to be listening to God. He will give you the steps to follow through whatever you need to do. And that is why we took away a license. First of all, I had to literally go to SANC's offices, the South African Nursing Council. And for a year, I had to call them. I called them 3-4 times a day. I promise you, if they had a caller ID on their system, they would have blocked me. But it needed to be done, because otherwise it would have taken 5 years.
Yeah.
Because they weren't taking it seriously. I mean, on the Carte Blanche videos, you will see that they spoke to SANC and they said, but why didn't you go and investigate a practice? Why didn't you suspend a license at least in that time that while you were busy with the investigation? So we went through all of that. But I mean, it all came back to where God showed me that this needed to happen. Because there was, for 13 years of this woman practicing, not one person who asked questions. Everyone was bombarded by the fact that she told them it was their fault.
Mm.
So all of the mothers that I spoke to, and I spoke to 80 mothers who were all affected.
Mm.
And out of those 80 mothers, 22 babies died.
Sure.
You won't hear that in the news.
Mm.
You won't hear that because the
they
news...
They just suffered in silence and accepted it could have been their fault.
Yeah, but the news can't confirm that. But I personally, me and Alicia, who's another mom who lost her son because of this woman, we spoke to those mothers.
Mm.
And I mean, those mothers who lost their babies. I mean, if you lost your baby, would you have the courage to ask questions and to look for answers and stuff like that? No.
Mm-mm.
So Sophia needed to live.
Mm.
And that's why she did.
Mm.
So that I could fight for her and for the other babies.
And save further babies from being...
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate to get my Y.
Amen. Sure.
But you know what? There's a lot of people that does not get their Y.
Yeah.
But you still need to keep on going. You have a responsibility,
yeah,
as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a father, as anybody, as a mother to your child. You have a responsibility to carry on, because life on this earth is temporary.
Yeah.
It's only temporary. If you've got an eternity mindset, then everything changes.
Mm.
Because now I know this one that I have with Sophia, all the challenges that we have, it is only temporary.
Yeah.
I know that one day in heaven, I will run with Sophia in the fields. I will catch butterflies with her and I will sing and rejoice of what God has done in our lives. And she will be right next to me, praising him with her hands up and standing upright and dancing with me.
Amen.
And that is what I'm looking forward to.
Oh.
Because that is what carries you through, having an eternity mindset.
That is absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, we're out of time, but I've witnessed you on so many occasions, like I said, and even your husband, how you love Sophia. You still, you know, she can't recognize much, she can't move much, but, you know, you still insist on creating a bond with her, on loving her, on, you know, because sometimes when people are thrown with, you know, challenges, sometimes we just like... we just get stuck in it so much,
yeah,
that we don't even live while we are going through whatever it is. But there you are, still creating a bond, still loving her,
yes,
still doing what you're doing for her. And, you know, it is such an inspiration to show us all to still live in the midst of that challenge that we are finding ourselves in, that difficult situation that we're finding hard to navigate. And for as long as, you know, there's not much we can do physically to change what it is, but we can live
absolutely
through it because we've got God with us who enables us and who strengthens us. So I want to ask, you know, just for, you know, some moms who could be wanting to reach out to you, where do they find you? What are your social media handles and all of that kind of stuff?
So before I share that, I just want to say, moms, dads, when you're listening, get connected to a church in the first place.
Yeah.
Whenever you need support, whenever you find yourself at a place, go to your local church and get connected. Support each other and never, never neglect the gathering of the saints.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So you can find me, I'm Karin Moll on Instagram, and The Miracle of Sophia is her page. And then I have a business, The Miracle of Sophia Creationscape, where I do fundraisers for Sophia. We have a fundraiser coming up where we're going to have a healing painting workshop at the 18th of December at Brushstrokes Cafe. And we will be painting, and all funds will be going towards Sophia's medical needs as she needs therapy. And we are looking to buy her a buggy, a special needs buggy soon. So any help will be much appreciated. These things cost a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Karin, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your positive spirit. Thank you for your faith in God. And thank you for carrying your load, you know, so well. And I think what I love about this is, especially as believers, that sometimes we want to hide the hardships, you know, and just present the strong face. But the way that you are always out there with your daughter, you are telling the story, we see her all the time, you know, you're showing us to say, hey, I'm also carrying something, there is a challenge in my life, but God is with me, he's helping me through this, and I can still live even though this is the reality of my situation right now. But you know, the Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So
my favorite verse,
really.
Since I was small.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for your time. It was lovely chatting to you.
Thank you, Zintle. Thank you for having me.